kua tai te wā mō Scorpio Book Spotlight e arotake ana I ngā puka puka pāpai.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. It is time for the Scorpio Book Spotlight. Whoop, whoop. We got Josh in the studio. How
Hello.
Are you, Josh?
I'm wonderful.
Great.
Just wonderful.
Great. What's been happening in your life?
Oh, you know, working away, having fun. I just realized because I just said it. I was re-listening through to our interview from a few weeks ago, and I noticed how often I say, you know what I mean? Or like, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm making a concerted effort not to say that this time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been, at least you observed it yourself.
Yeah.
I've been told before that I say words a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It's a weird piece of advice to get.
I know, because you don't even notice that you're doing it.
No.
It's not until, and then you get all in your ear, but I'm going to try my best not to. But don't tell me if I do or else it'll throw me off.
Books.
Love books. Well, I was talking to you just before off air about the Dune movies. There's a reason for that, which is that I would like to make an impassioned plea today to all the people who are currently out there, you know, frothing over Timothy, frothing over Zendaya, as they should.
Wonderful
films, fantastic films.
Yes.
If you enjoyed those films, or even if you haven't seen those films yet and you're like, oh, I'm not too sure, blah, blah, you know what you should do?
Read the books.
You should read the books.
I think this is a great idea.
Thank you. Jump
on a trend. Let's address it.
Let's address it.
Totally.
And I would like to say, first and foremost, those movies are wonderful. I think it's a beautiful adaptation of the first book. I think it does everything it needs to flawlessly.
Wow.
I think all the changes it does make to the book, I think, make sense when you're turning a book into a film.
Yeah.
You need to adjust certain things. I think those adjustments are all warranted. But I will say the book is still better, obviously, because the book is always better.
Of course,
And I say the book is better not in the sense of, like, you know, oh, they change about stuff and it's so much worse than this and that. I mean it in... Sometimes I think movie adaptations are like... Okay, it's just like a separate thing. You know, like I would say the Percy Jackson movies compared to the books are like, you're not even really seeing the same story.
Nah,
like they're so different, you know?
Like, world of
yes,
it and
which
the characters.
Is fine too. Like that's fine too. Other ones, which I think Dune is more like this, I think both are fantastic. I think they're good adaptations. The book almost feels like a director's cut of the movie. You know, it's like you get all of the stuff you like from the movie in it.
Yeah,
you get all of the bits that you enjoyed in the movie and Paul's story and everything, but you also get all of these kind of extra plot lines and extra little bits that, you know, wouldn't make sense to try and cram into a movie, but you can do when you're doing a book. And I'd also say, if you, because I've just gotten off finishing the third Dune book, there's six in total, if you didn't know.
Is there six?
There's six. Wow. Well, there's six Dune books written by Frank Herbert, the original author.
Okay.
And then he died and his son, Brian, who now has the estate, has written several other more kind of like, you know, about particular factions of the world.
Okay,
but the main Dune story is in six. And I'd say even in that, the first three are kind of considered like a Dune trilogy. And then the last three are considered the second Dune trilogy.
Okay.
So the first Dune trilogy, which is Dune Messiah, and Children of Dune. I just finished reading all of those. And it's amazing. If you've watched the movie and you've watched both the movies and you thought they are wonderful, I think if you want to, I think you should just read the first book. But I can understand if you're like, I've just experienced this story, right?
Yeah.
I think you read a quick plot thing just to get those couple little bits you didn't get, you could jump right into Dune Messiah.
Wow.
And Dune Messiah, they are going to make into a movie as well. I've been told, you know, got my sources, you know, messaging.
You mean the internet.
The internet, no, Timothy was blowing up my phone.
Yeah,
like, just so you know, King,
Hey,
Dune Messiah is coming out. I was like, thanks, Timmy. No, but they are doing Dune Messiah, and I think it would be, having read the book before I watched the movie, it made the movie so much better. It made the movie so much more interesting to watch. And I think it would be the same for Dune Messiah. It's difficult for me to talk too much about Dune Messiah because I don't want to like spoil any plot points to people that maybe haven't seen the movies or read the books yet. But if I can put it in very simple terms, the story and where it ends at the end of the first Dune book or the second Dune movie is... Dune Messiah, in a way, feels kind of like a very extended epilogue to that story. So it's very much connected to that. There's about 12 years in between and kind of the main thing that Paul's about to do, I'll say that, at the end of the second movie of the first book, he does, and then it's like the aftermath of that. I'll say that. I think people who have watched it will understand what I'm saying, but I don't want to give away any plot details.
So there's like a before an event book and then an after
kind of
book.
Yeah, there's like a very particular thing that Paul is worried about throughout the first book. He's concerned is going to happen, and eventually sees its kind of necessity, and then it happens, and then this is like the aftermath of it.
You know what kills me? I'm sorry, but I can't deal with a book where the protagonist's name is Paul.
So
that's what
the naming conventions of Dune are a point of much humor, because on the one hand you've got, you know, names like Chani Stilgar of the you know, the Naib of the Sich Tabir Stilgar, and then next to that you've got Paul and his mum Jessica. You know, like, you definitely have these weird names in there, which is funny. But yeah, I think apparently, because there's also a guy called Duncan Idaho, not spoilers, but just a little fun little Dune lore. One of the most important characters in the entire six Dune is Duncan Idaho. Okay. And he's called Duncan Idaho. But apparently that's meant to be like, you know, because Earth is like lost in the Dune universe so many millions of years ago, right?
Yeah,
like
actual
Earth. Yeah. So a name like Duncan Idaho is like an ancient, like, you know, powerful name of like ancient Earth, you know? Us, we're like, Idaho. But yeah, there's a lot of messaging of Dune. I think the movies did a really good job of making this very clear. But when the first book originally came out, Paul is not meant to be like a good guy. He's not meant to be a hero. He's not. Oh, right. You're not meant to read him as like, I should be like that guy. Like, he's very much meant to be example of what happens in a white savior narrative, right? Like, where that actually leads, which is often not good for the people they're supposedly saving, right? And like, the dangers of rallying behind a single individual and the powers that you give them when they become this all-powerful figure of your awe. And when the first book came out, and I think this is, you know, you can definitely see that within the first book, but supposedly when the first one originally came out, a lot of people didn't quite see that and were like, Paul's sick, man. I love Paul. I'm going to be like Paul.
Yeah.
And then Dune Messiah was very much Frank Herbert way of being like, yeah, no. Like, you know,
wow,
like, it's really
so
showing, it's showing the aftermath of this. It's showing what happens when you elevate someone to the position of essentially a god, like Muld'Dib. You know, you even see this in the movies, is very much considered a messiah figure to these Fremen people, and it's kind of talking about the problems when you do that, and the problems of a messiah figure, and the problems of all of that. And it's fascinating. There's also a lot
more.
Yeah,
that is interesting.
There's a lot more environmental undertones in the first movie and the first book and all of the books, which I think are in the movie. I think they're like a little bit lesser just because there's already so much going on, you know?
Yeah, totally.
But there's very much, you know, talking about environmental systems and, you know, how one thing that might be good for certain people on a planet isn't good for others, right? Like, these Fremen are used to the desert. Right. They love the desert. They don't love the desert. They kind of fear the desert in a way, but it's been, you know, part of who they are, and it's part of their culture, and their culture, the way they talk and their language and the way they move is all centered around where they live, right? This lived environment affects their, like, inward society.
Right.
And it's really fascinating to kind of see that and some of the problems that come with that and some of the like changes that start happening to their planet and how that affects them as a society, right? Like, when your whole inward society is based upon your like outward environment, when that environment changes, it's going to shift the way your society operates as well, which is just great to see.
Is it set on Earth?
No, it's set on Arrakis. I forget. Yeah, we were talking before. So Liam has not seen any of the movies.
No,
so
I know nothing.
I will
about
actually
it.
Give a rough synopsis of the first book. Then, basically, God, you give a rough synopsis to this. There's a planet called Arrakis, aka Dune.
Yeah.
Which is the only planet in this wide imperial empire that produces the spice melange. The spice melange is so important because
what a great name.
It is. It's good, isn't it? So you need the spice to. There's the Spacing Guild, who are the people that do the spaceships.
Mm-hmm.
They use the spice to enable them to basically. Spice gives you a bit of what they call prescience, like the ability to see into the future. Ah. So they use that spice to navigate their highliners through like sublight space and make it to planets.
I see.
Other factions use it for other reasons, etc. To the Fremen people, who are the native population of Arrakis, spice is a very like religious thing.
Okay,
and
yeah,
so I it's basically. A power play of there's the Harkonnens, who are an imperial house who currently own Arrakis in the Empire.
Right.
The Emperor says, I'm giving it to the Atreides now. And then there's, you know, obviously the Harkonnens are like, well, we're super rich, right? Because they get to sell all the spice. So like super rich. So we don't want to give it up. So then it's this maneuvering and political kind of story around the Harkonnens and the Atreides. Paul is the son of the Duke Leto Atreides.
Right.
And he has other things as well. There's this whole Bene Gesserit, which are like this other faction that has this breeding program where they're trying to like perfect the perfect human. There's a lot of moving parts in play.
I guess it's the nature of the style of book.
Yeah,
though,
and one of the reasons why that's the case is I found this out recently. Frank Herbert, the author, his background is actually in political science. That was his degree at university. So there's the political elements of it are like incredible. It's one of the most realistically written, like the way people maneuver and the way politics works and the double meaning of everything and the, you know, feints within feints of all of these moves is really fascinating. I will say the writing style of the book, it was something that I had to not get used to, but like, you know, it's not like what I had read before when I read the first one, which I ended up really loving. But basically, because there's all this political maneuvering, because there's all of this like, you know, people say one thing, but really they actually mean another. Yeah. And there's different languages and all of this stuff. And so a lot of the way the dialogue is written, it'll be like one character says one line and then there's like two paragraphs about what that line actually meant and like all the subtle subtext of that line.
No, it sounds like a political science student.
Yes, if you like politics, if you like sci-fi, if you like to see Timmy run around in his fun little suit and kiss Zendaya, you will also
I don't like that hero business.
Unfortunately not much of the opposite in Dune. Everything has its problems, but I think if you like the movie, I know it's the craze at the moment, I do think it's one
read
of those
the
where the book really is worth your time.
Yeah, yeah.
And read it means you can get ahead of the next story. If you're dying for more Dune, I've got good news for you. There's 5 more books you can read.
Great.
And they're
there
all great.
Go.
And they
Are
start
they
to
quite
get
long?
The first one's quite long. Dune Messiah is quite short. So if you've watched both the movies and you're like, I just want a little bit more, I reckon even just reading Dune Messiah, I think is worth it.
Yeah.
And that's only, I don't know, 250, 300.
Yeah.
They start to get a little longer after that. Children's like 500.
Okay.
The next one is about the same. I haven't made it to 4, 5, and 6 yet. I'm very excited for those. I hear they get very weird, very strange.
Cool.
Which I'm excited for.
Yeah, like let things get a little kooky.
For
Why
sure,
not?
Bro. That as I've always thought with sci-fi, if it's thousands of years in the future and all of this stuff, you know,
get weird with it, man. Yeah,
like
totally.
Humans would be strange. You
we
know?
Would be. Yeah.
We'd be doing
We're
weird,
weird
stuff.
Enough as it is.
We're weird enough as it is, and we have it. Imagine 2,000 years from now, 3,000.
Now the second like. Trilogy. Is that also Paul?
It's not Paul. So
interesting.
I can say is that there's, I think, somewhere in the thousands of years between Children of Dune God Emperor of Dune, the next one afterwards. So you will understand why as you read through them, but basically
you'll get new characters.
Paul's story is Yeah, three books, yeah, essentially. Yeah, yeah. So, and it's a fantastic story. I think Frank manages to say so much about humans. And I read, you know, a lot of the stuff he says about religion and the power of religion and, like, the way it can influence people and the way you can use it to control a population. He was writing a lot of this stuff before we really had any studies that kind of show it, right? Like, now we know all of these things and we have empirical evidence to show how religion can be used in these ways. Frank was writing it all and getting it, like, on point, like, accurate.
Wow.
Just kind of off his own, you know, viewings of the world.
Yeah.
Which is incredibly impressive.
That is really beautiful, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. And it's changed so much of the context of Jude knowing he studied political science.
I know,
As someone who studied political science, I know exactly where we are.
Yes, he said, I read there's a little afterword at the end of Children, where he's talking about, you know, he said he was, you know, planning the books for much longer, you know, before he actually sat down to write. And then he kind of said, as he was writing, he was kind of, he wanted to get that layers, right? Like the layers of politics, right? Like just the stuff you see on the surface is often hiding so many things under
it. Yeah.
And like to accurately kind of convey that when a character's doing something, they're probably doing it for like six different reasons and you only know three of them, you know, and like keeping all of those layers in his head
very interesting.
That start to kind of peel away as you make it further through.
Oh, that's so thought-provoking.
It is.
I love it.
It is. It's wonderful.
Hey, Josh, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
No worries.
We've been very on trend.
I love to do now, you know?
Do now. Yeah.
Dune in out.
Did we have the Dune popcorn bucket in New Zealand that went viral?
I don't know, but I want one.
Yeah,
I want one. I didn't see it when I went to go see the movie, but I want one of those Shahaloo freaking popcorn buckets.
That's Fleshlight.